Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
Country, there are many places which are famous not for being themselves, but for being on the road to somewhere else. Nizhny Novgorod, Samarkand, Marseille, all of these are merely places to change horses, to fill water skins, or to catch a boat for somewhere else. The wells of the desert country, the shallow places, and the vast rivers, these become the cities of the world. It is the same way here in the territory. I suppose I am the only one who ever thought of comparing the town of Frenchman's Ford to Nizhny Novgorod. But then, I am a very unusual person. Who am I? I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler.
And this is my friend, Midnight.
Midnight, just passing through.
You see, he is a raven, but he too is a traveler from here to there. The similarity between the towns of the territory and the ancient caravan stops first occurred to me when I rode the great cattle trail from Texas north to the railroads. I had traveled down to the Rio Grande with my friend Doc Sixgun. And now, together, we sat in a small adobe saloon and tried to pretend that the sun outside was not frying our brains right through the roof. With us was Clint Travers, a lean, sad-looking man, burnt by the sun to the color of an old saddle.
Figuring on heading north soon, Doc?
I suppose. I came down on an army order. As soon as that's finished, I can head back.
What for is the army bringing the Sawbones clear down to Texas? We got a couple of medicos between here and the Panhandle.
Well, I had some experience up in the territory with a water fever. Ran across an herb medicine that seems to work. The army wondered if it'd do any good down here along the border.
Ain't nothing to do no good with the drinking water in this part of the state, Doc. There ain't a well in this here county that don't let you know right off that we make our living raising beef.
You may be right. Although it looks like this draft of mine does some good. Anyway, I'll be able to head home in about a week.
How'd you like company on the trip, Doc?
Oh, I've got company.
That's right. I'm riding north with Doc. We'll make a happy caravan. Doc, me, and... and, of course, Midnight.
Doc, I got a proposition to put to you. We got a herd of longhorns rounded up about 10 miles out of town, and in just about a week, we're going to point them north up the Chisholm Trail. Doc, how'd you like to ride along with us?
On a cattle drive. You'll be traveling pretty slow.
Well, I know, but it's a long ride up north, and there's Comanches on the trail between here and Arkansas. Now, wouldn't you feel a mite safer riding with us?
What's on your mind, Clint?
Well, just asking, that's all.
Now, come on. Riding north with a herd of longhorns isn't exactly the fastest way to get home.
I could make it worth your while.
You must be real short of hands, Clint, if you want me to join your outfit.
Well, now, Doc, you know I didn't take you for an ordinary cowpuncher. I meant come along with the outfit as a doctor.
What are you talking about? Who ever heard of a Texas outfit on the long trail carrying a doctor?
Well, I tell you the truth, Doc, we ain't exactly an ordinary outfit. The boss is old man Hastings.
I still don't see why you need a doctor.
Well, I tell you. Doc Schmidt over in Austin told him if he laid off, quit climbing on half-broke broncos and wrestling yearlings for Brandon, he might live to be 100.
What's wrong with it?
His heart.
Well, a lot of heart cases live for years if they take care of themselves.
Sure, but they ain't men bound and determined to push a herd of longhorns up the Chisholm Trail to Abilene.
Hey, Clint, you don't mean old man Hastings wants to go with the outfit.
Well, that ain't exactly it, Doc. He's just plain convinced that there ain't a steer going to get north of the Red River unless he boots it over personal. And he swore up and down that Doc Smith was a lily-livered carpenter who made a living taking splinters out of shirt-tailed kids and holding ladies' hands while they complained of a headache. Huh. He's going, Doc, come hell or high water, he is going. And that trail ain't no picnic. There's more rivers to cross than you can shake a stick at, and most every one of them like to drown a man.
Hmm.
What do you say, Doc? Will you take the trail north with us?
Tell you what I will do, Clint. I'll ride out with you and talk to the old man. Maybe I can persuade him to stay home.
You get off my place, you all the same confounded pill pushers. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm as strong as I ever was. I can out-wrestle, out-drink, and out-gun any man south of the Brazos River.
Look, Mr. Hastings, Dr. Smith...
Don't mention his name to me. I wouldn't trust that shoemaker to pull a thorn out of a dog's paw. He couldn't doctor a sick pussycat.
You realize what it'll be like for you on that trail?
What do you mean, do I realize? You young lollygagger, I opened up that trail. I drove the first herd of cows north to St. Joe, Missouri, right after the war. $5 a head they was down here in Texas and $50 in the north. Just rounded me up a herd and lined them up with their tails pointed to Missouri and their horns headed for Canada. You asking me, do I realize? Go on, get out of here.
Mr. Hastings.
That's the trouble with these young woods colts these days. Ain't got enough guts to take the trail. Ain't got enough guts to say boo to a goose. Now go on. Get back to your physics and snake oil. Let a good cattle man go about his business.
Do not think it was the strong opinion held by Mr. Hastings on the medical profession that finally made up Doc's mind. Actually, it was the United States Army that swung the balance. There was a telegram from the Surgeon General's office asking Doc to survey the route north for safe watering places and fever-free campsites in order to plan a route for transfer of troops the following spring. And so, when the cowhands in the Hastings outfit rolled their blankets and slickers and climbed on their trail ponies, Doc and I were riding with them.
Get back, they're all ready, Mr. Hastings.
All right, then. Point them now. Get going.
Back. No, no.
The first part of the route had the unromantic, though descriptive, name of the Old Beef Trail, up from the Rio Grande to Austin. The cowhands on their wise and learned ponies dashed back and forth at the edge of the herd, shouting and whooping, riding 10 miles for every one that the herd moved north. At San Antonio, we paused for a day as Clint Travers rode into town for supplies.
All right, now, you make sure you get enough rounds of ammunition this time.
Sure, Mr. Hastings.
I ain't got no notion of waking up some night to find a gang of cutthroat horse thieves making off with the remuda and me fresh out of shells for my six-shooter.
Run into many outlaws on the trail, Mr. Hastings.
Well, it wasn't but 2 years ago that some pack of miserable varmints shot Jess Allen clean out of the saddle while he was on night herd.
What happened?
The rest of the punchers come out of their blankets with their guns in their hands. Sounded like Antietam all over again. Well, sir, when it was all done, we buried Jess. Chucked 6 dead polecats under a bush at the side of the trail. Say, Clint.
Yeah, Mr. Hastings?
Come to think of it, you better bring back a couple of them new carbine rifles.
North of Austin, we picked up the Chisholm Trail itself. The cattle pushed on along the dusty route that would bring them from the grasslands of Texas to an eventual final appearance in the slaughter yards of St. Louis or Chicago.
Hey, Clint!
Hey, hold there, hold! Hey, you all right, Doc?
Cook said you were looking for me.
How is he, Doc? The old man. Think he's all right?
Now, look here, Clint. I'm no Indian shaman. If he's got a bad heart, it can kick him over any time. I can't guess just when. Say, why is the herd stopped?
Colorado River.
I suppose we cross it.
If we don't, Doc, we'll be driving these cattle clear up into the Rocky Mountains.
Sounds like quite a job, framing this herd across.
Oh, the Colorado ain't nothing at all. It's like taking a bath on a Saturday night. Wait till we hit the Brazos. Now there is a river.
Clint was right. The Colorado was easy. as was the San Gabriel and the Lampasas. And then, finally, we arrived one morning at the edge of a red, muddy Brazos River.
What do you think, Clint?
He's running mighty fast this year, Mr. Hastings.
Well, those longhorns ain't going to fly across.
I reckon not.
Get the chuck wagon over and get a couple of fires going. Going to be wet work getting over.
Mr. Hastings.
What do you want, pill pusher?
I wanted to speak to you before you crossed the river.
Well?
I wondered if you'd take my satchel with you on the chuck wagon.
What do you mean with me?
Well, you'll go over on the wagon, won't you?
What in tarnation do you think I am, the cook? I'm the trail boss of this outfit. I got work to do.
Well, now, you're not going to swim that river.
Now, look here, Doctor. I got to get my cows across that river. I'm 3 hands short as it is. If you think I figured to float across in the cook wagon like some confounded Moses in the bulrushes, you got another think. Now, get out of my way. I'm a busy man.
The cook and supply wagons were floated across the river with their teams. And then finally, the first of the cattle, wild-eyed and bellowing with fear, were pushed into the rushing broad torrent. The cow ponies dashed in and out of the shallow rapids, and the punchers waved their hats and screamed themselves hoarse to keep the line of steers moving into the rushing water. Plaintive groaning from the cows as they felt the solid ground fall away from beneath their feet, and with only their horns and noses above the surface, they battled the churning breezes.
Keep them moving, Clint. Keep moving there. Look out. Tell that crazy Mexican to keep his horse out of the herd. He'll go under. Look out.
The first of the cattle had scrambled out on the opposite shore when old man Hastings suddenly turned his pony toward the water and shouted.
Go, go, go.
Into the maelstrom of muddy water and crazed cattle, the old man drove his pony, and Doc followed after him.
Over there's Jose. He's under. Throw him a rope.
He didn't come out.
He didn't. I told him to keep out of the mill. I told him out.
Mr. Hastings! Mr. Hastings!
Mr. Hastings, you all right?
What are you doing here? I told you to quit following me.
Well, you shouldn't talk like that to Doc, Mr. Hastings. You're lucky he did follow you. He pulled you out of the Brazos like you was a drowned puppy.
What do you mean? Where am I?
5 miles north of the river.
What do you mean? How can we be? How come it's night?
You've been unconscious for 5 hours, Mr. Hastings.
You just peeled off that saddle into the river, Mr. Hastings. Doc grabbed a hold of you and swam you to the shore. He's been taking good care of you here ever since.
Well, I'm all right now. No call for you to fuss over me. Where are my boots?
Oh, now, you better rest a while.
What do you mean, rest? I got night herders to get out and pickets on the horse line.
I took care of that, boss.
You did? All right. I guess I got kind of shook up in that river. Could happen to anybody.
That's right. Could.
What happened to that fool Mexican riding his horse in the middle of the swimming herd?
I don't know, Mr. Hastings. We never found him. His horse got over all right.
Oh. He was a good cowpuncher. Best hand with a rope I ever saw.
He had a woman back on the Rio Grande.
Well, when we hit Abilene, we'll send his pay down.
Seems mighty hard. A couple of weeks' pay ain't going to be much use for long.
What do you mean, a couple of weeks? He signed on for the whole trip, didn't he? That's what he's got coming to him. Now, get out of my way. I got to look at the herd.
I thought you were going to rest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now, mind you, there ain't nothing wrong with me.
Of course not.
Just tired, that's all.
Sure.
Don't you forget it.
All right.
Doc?
Yeah?
Thanks. I mean for fishing me out of the Brazos.
Oh, that's all right.
We drove the herd around the edge of Fort Worth and pointed the long herd north again toward the valley of the Red River. The nights were still on the prairie, with only the grunting and coughing of the herd and the small sounds of animals in the night to break the stillness.
More coffee, Doc? Here's a whole pot sitting on the coal.
Yeah, I've had enough.
How do you like it, Doc? Riding the long trail.
Well, I can think of easier ways to travel.
Yeah. Now, I reckon someday they'll have the railroad clear down into Texas from the north, and then fellas like me will be clean out of a job.
I don't suppose that'll be for a while yet.
I reckon not. You know, it ain't much pushing them cows north. It's dust and sun and maybe washing away in a river like the Jose. And all you got to look forward to is Abilene and payday.
You ever thought of getting a spread of your own?
I don't reckon. I hear tell right after the war you could do that. Fellas come back from the army, found the whole state of Texas full of longhorns going wild. You could just go around and round them up and find yourself a stretch of free grasslands and you were in business. Ain't that way no more. Most all big men. Hastings is about the last of the small outfits. No, I don't suppose there's anything for a fellow like me except punching cows. Till one of them punches me.
Suppose the cattle market breaks. Heard tell prices this year aren't what they were.
I don't even like to think about it, Doc. Well, a couple of years back, there was a big drought, and all outfits laid off hands. A lot of them just took to the badlands and turned to outlawing. They was perfectly good cow hands, but well, they got nothing left but their britches and a six-gun to get on with, so they just did the best they could. A lot of them hired out to the cattle wars up in the panhandle.
Well, then, let's hope the Chisholm Trail outlives us all.
Amen to that, Doc. Oh, that reminds me. The old man got throwed this morning when he climbed on a fresh horse. I never seen him get throwed off a bronc before. He got up kind of holding on to his chest like it hurt him.
Yeah, I saw that.
You reckon he'll make it, Doc?
I don't know. The human heart's a very funny thing. It can take more punishment than a cast iron pot. And one day, just go snap. I hope I can be there to pick up the pieces.
The Red River was another rushing graveyard for cattle and men. We lost a few head of stock, but no cowhands. Although one cutting horse slipped his hackamore rope and was washed downstream and drowned. But after the Red River fell behind the tower of dust from our herd, the drive became a little easier. Beaver Creek, Frost Creek, and the little Washita fell behind. And then, one afternoon, over a ridge, we saw suddenly, silhouetted against the sky, the figure of a man on horseback.
Oh! Oh, there! Oh, oh! Mr. Hastings!
I see him.
It's an Indian, isn't it?
Yeah, looks like Comanche.
He's seen us.
Well, with the dust we're kicking up, he'd have to be deep, dumb, and blind to miss us.
What do you think? Captain Miles back at the Beaver Creek Post didn't say anything about any Comanches on the warpath.
I don't reckon every Comanche war party checks in with Captain Miles first.
What are you going to do, turn back?
You know, Sawbones, sometimes you just ask plain, foolish questions. Glint, tell a wrangler to keep the horses pushed up close together and have all the hands make sure they got a full cartridge under the hammer.
Right. Think it'll be trouble, huh?
I don't rightly know, Doc. I'll tell you one thing. About 10 miles north of here, there's a hunk of board shoved into the ground. I set it there myself. After we buried Bowleg Thomas. Now, I didn't want to put Bowleg on a grave marker, so I just carved it out with my knife and wrote, Kilt by Indians.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. He's riding down this way.
As the Indian pony rode down on the herd from the ridge, we could see the feathered lance and the stretched buffalo hide shield painted in red and yellow. And across his back, the Comanche carried a modern breech-loading rifle.
Here it comes.
At least it's only one man.
Well, maybe only one of them, but chances are behind that ridge is a whole war party.
I don't like the look of that rifle. Ain't much we could do against a couple dozen of those. Not with a herd of cattle to look after.
Here he comes. Keep your hand away from your gun, Doc. I'll talk to him. Peace, brother. Friend. I ain't getting very far this way.
Maybe you don't speak no English.
Well, he must want something. One lone Indian wouldn't ride in here to attack a whole outfit.
Well, we ain't gonna get nowhere just the both of us sitting on our horses staring at each other. Hey there, you.
Oh.
What do you want? What do you want from us?
Por Dios, senor.
Hey, he's talking Mac.
Here, let me talk to him. I might speak some Spanish.
Well, he must have run into one of them Spanish missions out in the west there. Go ahead, Doc. See what he wants.
I can't get anywhere shouting across 50 feet of prairie. I'll go over and talk to him. Yes, come on.
We got them carbine rifles broke out, Mr. Hastings.
Good. Now, as soon as you see them, Comanche's riding over the ridge.
We get the herd into a mill, get them going around into a circle, so if they stampede, they won't get far. Send one of the hands back to Beaver Creek.
Shall I send him there?
No, no, hold on. He wouldn't get far. When they attack, somebody might get through in the confusion.
Hey, wait a minute. Here comes Doc back.
What does he want, Doc? How many in the war party?
One. And there isn't a war party.
What do you mean?
He's all alone. Says he's hungry.
Hungry?
Says they can't find any more game. Haven't seen a herd of buffalo in a year. They were supposed to get a shipment of beef from the government on the last treaty, but turned out rotten and they couldn't eat it.
Oh. What does he want from us?
A cow. He said his women are hungry and children. He said he put on his war paint to ride out to die, but he kept thinking of the women and the children hungry. So, he's begging for a cow.
Well, I'll be doggone. I never thought I'd see a Comanche come skulking up and begging like a tame town Indian.
Shut up, Clint.
Well, what do you mean, Mr. Hastings?
I said shut up. Ride back to the herd and tell one of the hands to cut out a steer, drive it over here.
What do you mean?
You heard me, didn't you? Now get going. We got distance to cover.
Well, yes, sir, yes.
And don't bring me back one of them straggly tough ones, neither.
Yeah, all right, boss. Come on, get
up. Well, Comanche. Well, I guess we're lucky.
I guess we are.
The rivers came on like squares on a chessboard, one after the other. The North Canadian, Kingfisher Creek, the Cimarron, and creeks and streams without number. Day after day and night after night, the long herd pushed northward. It was a lonely journey, with only an occasional rider or homesteader to see us go by. Nine Mile Creek, Polecat Creek, Slate Creek, and then the Arkansas River.
There you are, Doc. That's about the last river. Ain't but a week or so and we'll hit Abilene. Get our throat wet with a little better than boiled out coffee or creek water.
And the look of that last creek, you're better off if you boil the water as well as the coffee.
How's that?
Well, Clint, there's kind of a new idea about drinking water. You see, bad water's got little, well, sort of animals in it. So small that you can't see them. That isn't good.
Well, I don't worry none about that, Doc. Any animal that size ain't going to get very far against a cowpuncher come all the way up from Texas.
Well, maybe you're right.
So you reckon that might be what's bothering an old man today?
Hastings?
Yeah. I never thought I'd see the day. He's sitting up there riding a chuck wagon right next to Cook.
Hey, maybe I better go see him.
Ain't but a short while to trail's end, Doc. Be a rotten shame if he corked out now.
Don't you come pestering me, Sawbones. Ain't nothing wrong with me, just a saddle saw, that's all.
Saddle saw? Hastings, I don't think you've walked more than 10 feet since you were 8 years old. Saddle saw.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I do feel a little poorly.
Well, I told you to be careful.
Doc, I'll tell you a secret. Remember back in Austin when Doc Schmidt told me I wasn't too well?
Yeah.
Didn't want to tell nobody, but I reckon I believed him. I ain't felt right here for a long time.
Why, you stubborn old fool. Why'd you come on the trail for?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Doc. I wanted to see it again. I ain't got no kin. Ain't nobody cares much what happens to me. It don't even matter who I leave my spread to. Them big outfits will gobble it up no matter who it was. So I figured I pushed the first herd up this trail. I might as well get one more look at it before I quit.
You're crazy. You could have dropped a dozen times swimming those rivers, taking your turn on night herd with the rest of the hands.
Yeah, I know. Kind of disappointing, ain't it?
Disappointing?
I figured it'd be that way. What would you want me to do, Doc? Sit down there in the Rio Grande country and watch the longhorns pointing north? Sit on the front porch of a house watching the dust dwindling off in the distance. I figured I'd go right in the middle of things, right on the trail somewheres. I've been thinking about that so much, it almost seems like a shame it didn't happen that way. Yeah, I'll tell you the truth, I just didn't figure to see Abilene this trip. No way at all.
Why, you'll see it. And if you take care of yourself, you'll see Texas again for a good long time.
I reckon. Doc, don't mention nothing of this to Clint, none of the hands. Just seemed wild and foolish to them. To them, the Chisholm Trail is just a long drink of dust between paydays. Well, I reckon it's something different to me.
I suppose it is.
Well, it's about over. And I've seen it once again, from Texas north to Abilene. It's quite a ride, Doc. Quite a ride.
Then one day, just before sunset, Clint Travers rode back to us, waving his hat and shouting.
I seen it over the ride. Them ever-loving, sweet-smelling stockyard pens. Abilene! Abilene, and my fingers are itching to start heaving them silver dollars across the bar.
Hey, the trail's over there, Neff.
Yeah, it's over, all right. Come on, Doc. We'll ride back and tell Mr. Hastings. Come on. Abilene, oh, you beautiful Hunkatown.
Oh, there he is.
Boy. Mr. Hastings!
You don't hear me.
Wait a minute. Mr. Hastings. Clint. Get off your horse.
What's the matter?
He's dead.
Well, he can't be. Mr. Hastings. Oh, you're crazy, Doc. He's sitting on that horse as straight as a die. Mr. Hastings.
He's dead. Get the horse.
Sitting straight in the saddle, his hands resting lightly on the horn, the old man rode the end of the long cattle trail toward Abilene, propped straight by the high cantle of his stock saddle and the stiff leather of his shafts. He rode easily as the cowpony walked along. As Clint Travers took hold of the reins and pulled the pony to a stop, the old man wavered and then fell slowly from the saddle into Doc's arms.
Funny. Swam the Brazos River, rode through rain and storms, and then it comes just quiet like this.
Look, Doc, would you mind if we just don't tell the rest of the hands right now?
Why not?
Well, I don't know if it's respectful or not, but whether the old man's alive or dead, Doc, we got to herd the longhorns to get into the yards. They come a long way.
Yep, it's a long trail, but it's over now.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Tonight's script was written by Ernest Canoy. Heard in the cast were Kenny Delmar as Hastings and William Keene as Clint. Dr. Six Gun is a radio production of the National Broadcasting Company and directed by Harry Frazee.
Dr. Six Gun, starring Carl Weber as the frontier doctor with William Griffiths as Pablo, the wandering gypsy, has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.